The Philadelphia Eagles get the win on opening night 24-20, and what a way to start the NFL season. Jalen Carter tossed 6 seconds into the game. We had a torn ACL. We had a benches clearing brawl. Shit, we had a weather delay.
Football's back.
Football's back. Football's back, and I couldn't be any more happy about it. This is the Full Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Full Maruski Podcast by Powered by Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. He's CJ Medeiros. Football's back. The Friday episodes are back. Of course, today we're going to be doing our Friday picks for week 1. And if you tune in on Wednesday, we already gave our picks for Thursday night and the Chiefs game, the Chiefs-Chargers game that's going on in Brazil later tonight. We're currently recording this just a little afternoon. Friday, September 5th. We're 2 days away from the first Sunday of the NFL season, which obviously when you come in, when you got the Thursday night game and all of a sudden you add in this Friday night game, it's great and all. It's great. I love the NFL is bringing it back or giving us these games, right? But it doesn't feel like it's completely kicked in that the NFL season is back until that Sunday.
Until
that Sunday.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But got a good one here. But first, we're going to take a peek at the or recap the Eagles Cowboys game, which, boy, this was on pace for game of the year. This was on pace for it. I thought that the Eagles were just going to bully the Cowboys out of the water. But, I mean, both defenses did not have a good start to this game. Let's get that straight. There was no punts until after the weather delay happened. Jalen Carter. So we missed the first part of this game, right? We were both working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get word from one of our coworkers that Jalen Carter had just gotten tossed out of the game. And I was 6 seconds in, I was like, Jesus Christ, he only lasted one play. He didn't even get a snap.
No.
He didn't even get a goddamn snap. I oh my God. Have you ever seen that? Because I don't think I ever have.
Honestly, no. I don't think I've ever seen a player get ejected before the snap. Has it happened before in NFL history? Probably. In my lifetime, I don't know. Not that I've seen.
Yeah, but for real.
I just... You know, for those who don't know, Jalen Carter spit on Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, and we found out allegedly Dak spit first. A lot of players spit on the ground.
Yes.
Dak spat on the ground near Carter. Carter immediately just took that as a sign of disrespect and spit on Dak. And Eagles fans are allegedly calling it Spitgate. Oh, Dak spit first. He's not going to be fine. And I'm like, nah. See, if you're Jalen Carter, dude, like, I respect your game. You're an absolute beast. But keep your head on your shoulders, big man. Like, what are we doing here, dog? You can't be doing that.
The memes from this game were off the rails.
Dude. They really are.
Oh, my
God. And, yeah, but like I said, it's like, He immediately took that as a sign of respect and like decided to do that again. Man, come on, like stop and think sometimes. Like Jalen Carter, he's a great player, but you can't let your temper get away from you this early in the season.
Yeah, no, and I could see where a guy like, or just any guy in general, you know, you're spitting in a guy's general direction. Like, I think that's a pretty safe way to say what Dak's doing. He is, in fact, he may be spitting at the ground, but he is spitting at another man's direction, which can be deemed as disrespectful. But as Jalen Carter, you got to be the bigger man and not spit on the opposing team's quarterback.
Exactly. Knowing full and damn well you're going to get tossed. You are the best pass rusher Philly has right now. And without your presence, Philly did not log a single sack.
Yep.
So, dude, I mean, look, you won. Like, if you had lost, maybe it'd be a bigger thing. But, you know, but Jalen Carter, come on, man. Sometimes, you know, whenever I'm in a funk, I like to take a nice relaxing drive around. Jalen Carter, maybe that doesn't work too well for you or really anyone who went to UGA. But, dude, just chill. Just, that's really what it is. Like, you know, it's week one. Everyone's a little rusty. Tensions run high. But you just can't be doing that.
Yeah.
Just can't.
Just can't. Either way, other than that, first half, a fun, very fun first half. 44 points total scored, or 41, pardon. Because the field goal came in the third quarter. But 41 points total. Eagles had a 21-20 lead going into the halftime break. First half that also involved a skirmish between two sides after a kickoff. Javonte Williams. Everyone had him on his bench, and he decided to show out. Oh, my God. 15 carries, 54 yards, two TDs.
And somewhere every Denver Broncos fan in the United States of America is saying, oh, Javonte, why couldn't you do that when you were with us?
Yeah, for real. For real. I would say one of the biggest plays of the game, though, was in that third quarter, just a couple minutes before the lightning delay. And Miles Sanders breaks out a huge run down the sideline, and Zach Bond chases him down to save a touch. Because if Bond doesn't chase him down, that's six. Couple plays later, Miles Sanders fumbles the ball in the red zone. Eagles recover, take over, and that's the end of the Cowboys drive. And that was the closest they got to the red zone the rest of the night. So that was probably the biggest play of the night right there. And then the weather delay happened. And I remember Mike Tirico on the call was like, man, it hasn't rained here all damn week. And it's not raining now. And then it ended up raining afterwards. But only a 45-minute delay, which is good. Or hour-long delay, I should say. Game started back up, but it was clear that the weather delay had kind of killed all the momentum of the game. Offense was very sluggish from both sides. There was no score the entirety of the fourth quarter. And you're going to love this one, CJ. The over on this game was 48.5.
If you were that one guy that took the under, I salute you.
Yeah, for real. Got to give credit to Dallas, though. They were hanging in this entire game. The offense was really good. Of course, we could talk about the defense, but both defenses kind of just locked in once that weather delay or after the weather delay. So I'm not going to specifically like say the Cowboys defense, but they did pretty solid tonight. There was a lot of plays where they were able to get at least in the back half of the game where they were able to stuff Saquon and A.J. Dillon for no yards, which was pretty impressive considering they weren't able to do it the entirety of the first half. Jalen Hurts. So we'll talk about CeeDee Lamb in a second because obviously his name is big amongst social media right now. Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, obviously the relationship is good. But A.J. Brown only getting one target is insane to me. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, Jalen Hurts, for some reason, thinks that A.J. Brown must be like a nuclear bomb and the fucking football's a detonator. I don't even know. He just refuses to throw it in football. That's all I can really say about it. It's just so frustrating. Like, get this fucking man on the Pats right now. Get him on the Pats. right now. Like that. Like, CJ, you're a fantasy owner, but take away the bias. Like, it kind of is frustrating. Like, not even being an Eagles fan, it is frustrating to watch Jalen Hurts just not throw the ball to AJ Brown.
Yeah, I mean, this was an issue that came up during the Super Bowl of all places. And sure, they won, but
That's the thing. That's the thing, CJ, is that they are winning, so it really shouldn't be a problem, but it's like you can only rely on the run so much, too. But that's just how the game played out for them. They were able to just control the ground game the entire game, pretty much the entire day. But later in the game, so we'll talk about CeeDee Lamb. 4 drops total. 3 in the fourth quarter alone. 3 in the fourth quarter alone. First one was in his hands on a third down. It was kind of in some traffic. I'll give him a pass on that. Second one was a downfield throw that would have gotten them potentially in the red zone. He dropped it. And then a fourth down pass that was a little slightly overthrown. It made CeeDee Lamb have to dive out full extendo, add it in his hands and dropped it. Cowboys go on to lose. CeeDee Lamb would have had 11 catches, 215 yards, and potentially a touchdown if he made those catches. I am a fantasy owner of CeeDee Lamb, and that pisses me off.
God, yeah, absolutely. Good Lord. Like, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. He still had 18 fantasy points, but God, it sucks when they leave points on the field. It really does. And the thing is, right, as much as the NFL world, myself included, likes to rip on Dak Prescott, heck, when I worked at that radio station, just around back in Delaware, my boss, who was a Cowboys fan, you know, used the word unclutch to describe Dak Prescott. That's rightfully so. But this is one of those scenarios where you can't really blame Dak for that. Those passes were perfect. Maybe not that last one. You know, maybe not. That was a little overthrown. But Lamb, sure, he reached out for it, but he got both of his hands on the ball. But the other three, those were perfect. Right in the breadbasket, right over the shoulder. And Lamb just decided, no, I'm going to drop these today. I guess I just don't. I know it wasn't intentional, duh.
Yeah.
But good Lord, for a guy who fancies himself the best in the game, you sure didn't make a case for it.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, 11 catches, 215 yards and a touchdown. And here's the thing. If you get that touchdown, you win. Because Philly only beat you by 4. You covered the spread. I'll grant you that. But you didn't win. And one more thing. The Cowboys on the defensive side of the ball, remember how Jerry Jones said they wanted to stop the run?
Yeah.
They gave up 158 passing yards with Kenny Clark. And last season, yes, rushing on it. Yeah. 158 rushing yards. 158 yards on the ground you gave up. I thought Kenny Clark was supposed to fix that. Oh, wait. Last season, Michael Parsons' run defense grade was actually a tiny bit better than Kenny Clark's. Not to mention, they only got one sack the entire game. And that was from Marshawn Nyland. But outside of that, they really struggled to get any pressure on Prescott. And Hurts hit all day in the pocket on many such cases. And whenever there wasn't anyone there, you know, he was just able to wiggle through the defensive front to grab the first down. And not to mention, all of Philly's touchdowns were on the ground. That Michael Parsons trade is looking worse and worse. To which I said, and to which all the Cowboys fans say, yeah, but Philly didn't get any sacks. Well, yeah, because Jalen Carter made a boneheaded mistake and got chucked out of the game. This was entirely self-imposed. It didn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I was going to say, and the thing with Philly, though, is Philly definitely left a lot of opportunities on the table. You know, they didn't get A.J. Brown involved. They didn't force any turnovers. Dallas actually outgained them on the ground. But this was just a comedy of errors. I mean, it might be a little early to say who wanted it less. But Dallas, you could have won, and you did not. Like this, yeah. I mean, it really feels more like Dallas lost the game than Philly won. Like, don't get me wrong, it was a solid effort. But the Cowboys keep shooting themselves in the foot on offense and on defense. Like I said, you can't stop the run, and you only got one sack, generated next to no pressure the entire game. So, yeah, the NFL's back.
The NFL is indeed back. Are you worried about the Eagles' defense?
No. If this keeps up by like week five or six, then probably. But hey, the first 2 weeks of the year, you're knocking off the rust. Everyone is. The Eagles were no exception. They still won. Honestly, if they lost, I'd say, okay, I'm a little concerned. But I would say don't panic. Maybe panic by like week five or six. This hasn't changed, but you know.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. In terms of Jalen Carter, obviously there's probably going to be more ramifications for him for all we know.
I would imagine.
I doubt they're going to suspend him for a game, to be honest, because he basically sat out an entire game. So you could probably put that into play. But yeah, so we'll see what happens, ends up happening with Jalen Carter. Ellie, we'll probably end up finding out sometime next week. I feel like once week one is settled down, but they're going to review all the footage and see what's going to happen. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our week one picks, starting with our Ruski game of the week. Don't go anywhere.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Party 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ, I'm Chris. By the way, we're recording this on Friday the 5th. Technically, this episode is coming out Saturday the 6th, so pardon me for misspeaking at the top of the show, but that's just what happens, I guess, you know.
Many such cases, yeah.
Yeah. Ruski game of the week. Bills, Ravens, Sunday night football. Rematch of the AFC divisional game. The schedule makers are cooking over here. They're cooking. Absolutely cooking. What a way to start out week one, by the way. So we'll get to the actual matchup of Ravens and Bills in a second, but Ravens, Bills, Cowboys, Eagles, which just happened, Chargers, Chiefs, which is going to be happening in a couple out or later tonight. Like I said, recording on Friday night.
Detroit, Green Bay. Don't forget.
Don't worry. I was getting there. Detroit, Green Bay. Minnesota, Chicago is going to be a fun game. That's Monday Night Football. San Francisco, Seattle. That's going to be a fun one.
Bro, Bucks, Falcons, man. That's going to.
Hey, Bucks, Falcons.
That's actually going to be fun. I mean, it should be. Penix is what we think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the schedule makers, they're putting their best foot forward this week. It looks promising on paper.
Oh, yeah. Houston Rams could be a good one, too. So, it's going to be a fun slate on Sunday. Sunday's going to be a fun one. That's for sure. But
I can't wait. Like I said, they put their best foot forward. It really does feel like the NFL is back.
Yeah. All right. Ravens Bills. So rematch of the AFC divisional round. CJ, just give me some opening thoughts when you think of this game.
I do love a rematch. I really do. However, it's still in Buffalo, though, and that's going to be something. And I know both Lamar and Josh Allen do, in fact, have a chip on their shoulder. And it's really going to come down, I think, to defense, right? Because Josh Allen's coming off an MVP campaign. Buffalo just threw James Cook the bag. Keon Coleman is looking to take the next step. Khalil Shakir also got the bag thrown at him not too long ago, if I recall correctly. And, heck, they brought in Curtis Samuel. I mean, not Curtis Samuel. They brought in the guy from the Chargers, Josh Palmer, to pair alongside Curtis Samuel as a gadget guy. Not to mention that good duo of Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. The Ravens, on the other hand, Lamar and Derrick Henry are still a frightful duo. Mark Andrews, yeah, I know recency bias would say he sucks after that championship performance, but if anyone's going to be motivated, it's him. Zay Flowers continues to blossom into possibly a top 15 receiver. And don't forget, they just added steady veteran DeAndre Hopkins. Who is he in his prime? No. But is he still someone you have to respect? Oh, yeah. If you don't keep your eye on him, he will make you pay. So these teams on offense are pretty evenly matched. But for me, it comes down to defense. I think they're definitely going to be trading scores. And at the end of the day, it's going to be which defense blinks first. Do you want me to give my pick? Or because I can.
Yeah, honestly, just give your pick right now. Why not?
All right. I'll get my pick right now. I think the Bills' defense is going to be the one that blinks first. I think Baltimore goes up on the road and grinds out a win. Because Allen. Like, airing it out is going to be tough. It just is. Because they're pairing Jair Alexander, who for once is healthy, with Marlon Humphrey. And you have rookie Nate, or second-year man, he was rookie last year, Nate Wiggins as your third corner. That's huge. Kyle Hamilton, you just paid. He's there to stay. And star rookie from Georgia, Malachi Starks. And, you know, Roquan Smith is looking to have a bounce back year. You got Nnamdi Adebike up front. And Mike Green, who could have gone in the first round if not for, you know, the controversies, off-field issues. You know, another NFL player that's difficulty hearing the word no. But don't get me wrong, he's still a problem on the field. And you also got guys like David Ojabo, too, who, I mean, we're still kind of waiting for him to develop, but he definitely shows flashes. So that being said, I have to go with the Ravens on this one.
I like it. I like it. For me, I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills. You could look at Lamar. You could just look at Lamar's record in primetime games and just go. You could just pick Lamar himself. But give me the Bills at home under the lights in front of Bills Mafia. Bills since 22 have the best record under the lights in the NFL. I like to go by, as you can tell, I like to go by trends. So I'm going to keep with it on the trends. Give me the Bills in this one. I think that Josh Allen is going to keep going off of his, you know, keep that, get that bump from that MVP season last year and have a solid game. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are both going to go off. Doesn't matter how it's going to be. They're going to find a way to have spectacular performances. There's no doubt about that. Do I think the Ravens defense is going to stand up a little bit taller than the Bills? Sure. But is it going to be enough to contain Josh Allen? I don't think so. I don't think so. So that's what I'm going to go with. And also too, I mean, the Ravens had such a terrible pass defense last year that I feel like that, you know, we're still in the early weeks of the season. I feel like shades of that is going to come back into this game.
Yeah, Possibly. It's just, I don't trust Buffalo's receiving core.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Buffalo does have a pretty weak receiving core. That's the, well, we've seen quarterbacks be able to find a way to get around that. And Josh Allen has proven that he's one of them.
Yep.
All right. Spread on this game, 1.5, and Ravens are the favorite team, 50.5. Part of me kind of wants to go under on that one, but
yeah,
that is our Ruski game of the week. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the rest of the week one slate. You're listening to the Fumble Ruski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Ruski podcast. CCJ, I'm Chris. Time for the rest of the week one picks. Starting with the early afternoon slate, or for us Eastern folk, the 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time slate. We'll start from the top here. Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Spread is Tampa Bay by 1.5. 47.5 over under.
Mm-hmm.
I find it odd that this game has such a tight spread the way it is.
Well, there's like, a lot of hype around Atlanta, so that's probably why.
But there's something about Atlanta's defense that just still feels underwhelming to me. There's something about it. There really is. Whereas, like, this game in general, I feel like it should be not a Tampa runaway, but it should be leaning heavily towards Tampa Bay.
I think so, yeah.
You would think so.
Maybe not like a double-digit win, but probably like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Atlanta's could get their licks in, but me personally, I'm going with Tampa on this one.
I'm going with Tampa, too.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended with
defensive
coverage. But yeah, I feel like what was that?
I said elite ball knowledge required, honestly.
Yeah, for real. If Tampa's going to win the division, then I feel like that it's going to start with a good divisional win against a divisional opponent that's going to compete with you for that division title. In my opinion, the NFC South is really just Tampa's to lose at this point. And it starts right here. And not going to be I don't think it's going to be like, as you mentioned, a convincing win, like a double-digit win.
Yeah.
But I could see it hanging around that one score. I could see it hanging around that one score area, you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Moving on to the next game on the list, Cincinnati and Cleveland. This is another one that's kind of, I feel overwhelmed to the Bengals.
Yeah.
But
are you thinking what I'm thinking here?
Joe Flacco.
No, not even that.
What are we thinking?
To everyone watching, here's what I have to say. Are you familiar with the curse of the week 1 and 2 Cincinnati Bengals?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is right.
Like, as long as Zach Taylor's been a coach, they're like either 2-10 or 11-1 in weeks 1 and 2.
That's concerning.
That is a thing. And look, I'm aware that the Browns, you know, they're the Browns, but it's in Cleveland, and you know how those, especially AFC North rivalries get. And I ain't gonna lie to you, the Bengals thing is very, very real. And you know, Joe Flacco's not necessarily a bum at QB. You know, you got Jerry Jeudy, rookie Quinshon Judkins, David Njoku. The Bengals also have no defense. You know what? Screw it. Give me Cleveland. Give me the curse. The Bengals curse, that is. Don't curse me, fake odds. But yeah, I'm going Cleveland. By the way, that's my upset of the week. This is the textbook definition of a trap game. I'm going Brown.
I like it. Honestly, you almost just swung me to pick the Browns for a second there. I'm going to pick the Bengals. I do think that the Browns are going to be better than what most people think this year, mainly because, like, I refer back to our conversation with Tony Pauline a couple months back during draft season, or just after draft season, where, you know, this is a Browns team that ended up having a ton of injuries. Like, it was basically Detroit Lions level of injury, just minus the fact that the Lions were the top seed in that entire NFC and the Browns were the exact opposite. Minus that, they're a solid team. This could very well be a solid team. And I think if, like, the only thing that's probably going to hamper them is quarterback play. But that's going to be dependent on what we see out of the offense in general, honestly.
Flacco did win comeback player of the year with Kevin Stefanski. So,
yeah.
And for what it's worth, I just want to say I don't think Stefanski's a bad coach. And the fact he's on the hot seat, I think, is stupid.
Yeah.
It's silly. I think Andrew Berry should be chucked into Lake Erie, but so whatever. We don't always get what we want.
Yeah. Next game, Colts and Dolphins. In Indianapolis, Daniel Jones is your starting quarterback against the Dolphins. Dolphins, of course, with Tua. Nothing about this Dolphins team I like.
Yeah.
And there's nothing about this Colts team that this was honestly kind of a tough decision for me, because I almost chose Colts, but then I had to remind myself that Daniel Jones is the quarterback. And look, throughout the entirety of training camp, like, there was no clear winner of the starting quarterback job until Anthony Richardson got hurt, which goes to show Daniel Jones what he's capable of, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it also goes to show what Anthony Richardson is capable of, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible predicament to be in if you're the Colts. When you look at the Dolphins, they got the fate of being softer than puppy shit on their side. I mean, literally just look at a quote from one of the Dolphins players after their joint practice with, I forget which NFC team it was. Do you remember?
Not off the top of my
head. Either way, it was basically like, they're basically calling whatever team fake tough and stuff like that. Basically, like, shitting on the other team for going 100%, 110% probably. It was like, what?
Honestly, I'd rather be that team that goes 110% in the preseason rather than Miami, which is a team that has never gone 110% at all in Mike McDaniel's entire coaching tenure.
Yeah, for real. You know what? God, who are you picking, CJ? Because I'm at the point where I don't.
This is another one where Miami has a lot of talent, but the Colts actually do have a solid defense. But for me, the difference maker for Indy is Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor. For Daniel Jones, I don't need you to be Patrick Mahomes. I don't need you to be Josh Allen. I don't need you to be Lamar. I don't need that from you. I need you. If I'm Shane Steichen, I'm going to Daniel Jones and I'm saying, I need you to limit the mistakes. I mean, I know that's stupid conservative play not to lose mindset, but if you don't turn the ball over, we win, essentially. Yeah. Because the receiving core is actually solid. You know, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, tight end Tyler Warren. And the big difference maker for me, Jonathan Taylor. I do not believe Miami's going to have an answer for them. And while the Miami offense, you know, you got Tua, you got Tyreek, you got Waddle, I urge people to remember Miami, outside of Minka Fitzpatrick, you've got Jack at defensive back. I didn't mean to rhyme. That's just kind of how it worked. Roll with it. Javon Holland is now a New York Giant. Jalen Ramsey is gone. Artie Burns, who you grabbed in free agency, is hurt. You are trotting out Rasul Douglas and Storm Duck. This is a race to the bottom. And low-key, I'm tilting Colts solely because it's in Indy. If it were in Miami, I'd say Dolphins all the way, but I feel like the Colts defense is suspiciously slept on. And ever since they fired Gus Bradley, I think it's going to get better. But I feel like Miami's just a tiny bit more dysfunctional.
Yeah. I would probably end up having to ultimately lean Colts with that point. I also don't really think that Miami is going to have much of an answer for Jonathan Taylor at all. That was a big weakness just in last year in general for Miami, was their running defense. Mm-hmm. And Colts had a pretty solid run game last year, of course. And yeah, Jonathan Taylor. So it's kind of, you would have to think that Jonathan Taylor's going to run all over him, but who knows? Colts. Bang. New England and the Raiders. The Raiders! Breaking news, though, unfortunately. Breaking news in regards to this game. Christian Gonzalez officially ruled out for week one. Unfortunate. Yeah. Just unfortunate. Hate to see that. But in other news, Stephon Diggs is good to go for week one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. This is a very interesting game. Obviously, we're Pats fans. We're going to say certain mm-hmm. things about the Patriots. But this truly does feel like one of the more interesting week one games of the season. You know, you look at the Patriots, They have a revitalized defense. Got a brand new weapon and Stephon Diggs. Got a new weapon in Trevion Diggs, who you got in the second round of the draft.
Trevion Henderson, but yeah.
What did I say?
Trevion Diggs.
Trevion Henderson, yeah. You look on the Raiders side, kind of a new look. You got Pete Carroll as your head coach. Geno Smith is your quarterback. Which also we should probably don't know how we Amari Cooper also just retired yesterday. I don't know how we just glossed over that fact. Let's take a quick moment for Amari Cooper. Solid career.
Absolutely.
Hall of very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fair way to describe Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Now, Amari Cooper was always, even at his best, he was always underrated. Whenever I think of, like, prime Amari Cooper, I mean, not even his Cowboys tenure, but on the Raiders, good God, I just think of all that wasted potential with him, Carr, and Crabtree. Ugh.
Yeah.
We all remember that one really good 2016 year. Yeah. Amari Cooper, what an absolute legend, though. One of the better wide receivers in his prime. But
yeah,
I will say he was, you know, drafted in 2015. And throughout 10 years in the NFL, he has 33 receiving yards, 64 touchdowns on 711 catches. You know what? I'll tip my hat to you, Amari Cooper. Oh, and 5 Pro Bowl appearances as well.
That's pretty good. Any all pros?
So yeah.
I didn't think he made an all pro.
I'm looking at it now. I don't believe so, no.
Okay. Yeah, so Hall of very good. Unfortunately, not a Hall of Fame resume, but I mean, he's still going to be one of those players that we look back on and say, damn, he was a damn good receiver. And it's unfortunate that it kind of started to fall off a little bit once he got into Cleveland. And then Buffalo, he didn't really do much at all. And then there was a practice video that got released right after Amari Cooper announced his retirement. And it was he just had nothing left in him, which unfortunately happens. And you know what? Good on Amari Cooper for recognizing it and stepping away before the season really got underway. All right, back to the Raiders themselves. Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, got through that. Ash Ngeeta is now your running back. A team that had a bottom five running game in the league now could potentially have a top 15 running game in the league with Ash Ngeeta as your tailback. That's big. That is pretty big. I feel like that's basically the conversation here. Can the Patriots contain Ash Ngeeta? Can they contain Brock Bowers? Those are really the two biggest questions in this one. Other than that, I'm not keen on the Raiders' defense. I feel like the Patriots could have a solid day thrown around on them, minus the fact that they got a key in on Max Crosby. So with that being said, I'm going to go Patriots on this one. Pats have been terrible at home since Brady left. There's no getting around that. But now we have a new era, a Mike Vrabel era with Drake May, and that home dominance comes back.
Yeah. For me, I'm not going to lie, as a Pats fan, I'm scared. Everybody says, oh, if New England's good this year, take it with a grain of salt because, and I quote, they have a cupcake schedule. Look, if you watch this show at all, you already know how I feel about the way the league determines strength of schedule. I think it's wrong. The way they do it is severely flawed, but whatever. But I would push back on that narrative. See, the Raiders aren't pushovers. They were last year, but they're not. I mean, they're not a high ceiling team, but they're a high floor team. I mean, you know, with Genty, Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, they're just cleaning the slate. They're going to be solid. And the thing with New England is I'm worried about how they gel. They brought in some good names this offseason, but at the end of the day, you can't be like a Frankenstein's monster of names just stapled together. But the fact that it's in New England with that new era, and Mike Vrabel is an experienced head coach, that gives me enough to say I think New England's going to win. And I was worried about Max Crosby and Will Campbell, but Will Campbell's a left tackle and Crosby lines up on the right, which is good because Will Campbell, I think, has a small ankle injury, but he's going to play. Gonzalez being out would concern me a lot more if Carlton Davis was unhealthy, but Davis is fine. Alex Austin, I think, is underrated, and they have Marcus Jones. And I was concerned about Ash Ngeeta, but if you're a Patriots fan, let me give you two names, Milton Williams and Christian Barmore. I'm going New England.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got Christian. That's right. Pat's got Christian Barmore back. I forgot about that. God bless that he recovered from the blood clots. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I mean, as a Pats fan, I'm happy to have him back. But as a whole, I do think I'm just happy he's okay. Blood clots are nothing to play about, and I'm just glad for him and for his family that he's safe.
Yeah, thank God. Moving on to the next game, Cardinals-Saints. Cardinals.
We don't even need to explain it, just Cardinals.
Yeah. There's our wrap-up for the Saints and Cardinals right there.
I don't even care that it's in New Orleans. Like,
yeah.
Nah. Look, there's going to be no energy there, like just Cardinals.
Yeah, Spencer Radler's your quarterback. Cardinals defense looking pretty solid. You picked up Josh Sweat in free agency. Cardinals, I feel like, are going to look I feel like this is going to be a bit of a Kyler Murray feel out with Marvin Harrison type of game. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get more of that connection. Maybe Trey McBride has himself a big game as well.
I can see it.
Yeah. Either way, Cardinals by a billion. Who? I don't even know.
We're hammering the over.
Yeah. We're hammering the Cardinals total over. Another game that is probably up there for one of the more interesting games of week one is Steelers at Jets. 1 year removed, and Rodgers returns to MetLife. This is a bit of an... I'm going to say Steelers first off. Or, pardon me. What did I write down? I think I said Steelers originally, and I told myself Jets. Yeah. You know what? Let me sell you on the Jets.
Okay.
Let me sell you on the Jets.
Sell me on the Jets, Chris.
There's not much to sell. There's not much to sell. This is just one of those games that I just feel like.
It's a trap game.
Yeah. You know, it's the return of Aaron Rodgers. You got a new coach in New York. Yeah, the Jets are going to fucking suck. Look, they're going to suck. You got Justin Fields as your quarterback. There's nothing good that can come from that, really. And I just got a feeling that the Steelers are going to have a weird little slugfest with the Jets. And the over-under for this game is kind of saying the same thing as well. Over-under is 38.5. Or 37.
The over under should be like 25.
Yeah. Now. Jets are going to be looking for a little payback on Rodgers. They don't want Rodgers coming in with his new team and just laying the smackdown on him. I usually don't like picking the Jets because I hate the Jets. But I think it would just be so fucking hilarious to see the Jets beat the Steelers this week. So give me the Jets.
All right. I see the vision. I do. I am going with the.
There is no logical reasoning to my pick.
Yeah, no, it's a trap game. Like, there's no logic behind trap games. I get it. But I am going with the Steelers, and I'll tell you why. First, this is also a revenge game for them. They don't want Justin Fields to win. They don't. They want to, they want to march right into MetLife Stadium and say, you ain't shit. Second, the Jets is also a Justin Fields thing. The Jets have no confidence in Fields. Did you hear about their game plan? It's going to be run, and run some more. They're like, oh, if Fields has to make a play on third down, we'll let him, but it's going to be runs. That's what it is. It's all running. And while I've made no bones about my thoughts on Mike Tomlin, you know, maybe being a tiny bit overrated, this is one of those scenarios where experience will win out, especially with rookie head coach Aaron Glenn. I'm going Steelers. It's just, I feel like Tomlin's going to scheme up something especially nasty for Fields.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, this is just the spread, the over under. This just all screams trap game slugfest, and like you could just flip a coin. Washington, New York Giants. Washington.
I feel like this could be one of those games where the Giants bait you into having hope. They're probably going to be up by 3 at halftime. Then in the second half, Jaden Daniels just crushes them. Because that's how division games tend to go. I feel like it's going to start out close, but then by the time the third quarter kicks off, Commanders are just going to pull away.
Because look, like the Giants' defense is nothing to scoff at.
It's really not. And it only got better.
They really only got better. Just look up Abdul Carter. That's your one example right there of how the Giants got better.
I was going to say what also is a big sell for the Commanders is that the offensive line got better. You drafted Josh Connerly and you have Laremy Tunsil.
The only real interesting part of this is see how Russell Wilson does.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all it's going to be. Him, Slayton, and Neighbors. Cam Scadabo, Tyrone Tracy. This is a pretty young offense that we're looking at here.
True.
Wilson and Tunsil. But other than that, pretty young. But yeah, this just screams Washington all day. All right.
Yeah.
And that Carolina and Jacksonville, the last 1 o'clock game that we have on the slate.
Ah, the Kitty Bowl, as it were. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's actually kind of tough.
Yeah,
genuinely a bit of a toughie. I'm just gonna keep it real with you. Carolina has invested a lot in their defense, and I guess the Jags have the higher ceiling, but the Panthers are another team where I'd say they're not pushovers. Dave Canales showed promise as a head coach, and remember how Bryce Young did kind of turn it around. I want to see if he can capitalize on that. Not crazy about the Jags defense, though. But the thing is, the Jags offense, Brian Thomas Jr., Trevor Lawrence, and their army of running backs of Travis Etienne, Bashaul Tutin, and Tank Bigsby.
It's interesting.
This might be the most evenly matched game we have. This is, forget a spread, I'd call this more of a coin flip.
Would you like to know the spread for this game?
I would, actually. I've never really cared about spreads all that much, but I'm genuinely curious about this.
Jacksonville, 3.5.
Ooh, I'd take that. Give me Jacksonville.
Really?
Really?
I'm honestly taking Carolina to cover.
Okay. I just say, like, I got the Jags winning. I mean, can the Panthers cover? Yeah, probably. But I feel like it's going to be close, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I think.
Not to mention, maybe I'm being too swayed by home field advantage, but that's going to help. And even though Bryce Young is on the come up, I think the Jags just have a little more firepower and a little more experience. For the Panthers, your X factor is, can Xavier Leggett take the next step, and can Teteroa McMillan contribute early? If that's the case, then you're golden. If not, I don't know. Because Lawrence does have some weapons to play with.
Yeah. And a new offensive-minded head coach in Liam Cohen.
Mm-hmm. That's the big thing, too. Like, if Cohen can do that with Baker, then Lawrence, I mean, he should be able to replicate it.
Yeah.
The Jags are a work in progress, but I'm still taking the Jags.
Yeah. But this can also be another case of, you know, offensive coordinator is just a better offensive coordinator than a head coach, or coordinator is better coordinator.
Hey, there have been many such cases of this. You could be right. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Panthers. I feel like they're ready to take this next, like, small step into what they want to become. The Jaguars, I feel like there's still questions on if they're going to be able, because we're in year six of Trevor Lawrence, and we still have no fucking clue what's going to become of Trevor Lawrence. And Justin Herbert gets a lot of excuses. I think Trevor Lawrence is, like, right up there with him on that.
Yeah. Lawrence isn't quite at if man territory, but he's runner up.
Yeah, easily. So you got Jags, I got Panthers.
Yep. Where it seems that way.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the late afternoon picks and Monday Night Football. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Priority 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Week 1, late afternoon, a.k.a. the 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time slate. Which you were saying earlier, I mean, this entire week 1 has got a lot of good games going for it. 4:05, we're going to get into the 4:05, the two 4:05 games first. Tennessee and Denver. In Mile High, Denver is overwhelmingly the favorite at 8.5. They have a 8.5 point favorites. Shit.
Yeah.
English. I would have to choose Denver.
I'm going Denver. And look, friend to the show, Blaine Bishop, please don't be too upset at me. But look, you're starting a rookie in Cam Ward. I'm already not a believer in head coach Callahan, Brian Callahan. I'm just not. But Denver. Say what you will about Bo Nix or Sean Payton or whatever. That defense is ferocious, and you're a rookie, right? And you're starting week 1, and your first game, you're going to Mile High Stadium, which is a notoriously tough place to play. I like Cam Ward. The deck's stacked against him. Give me Denver. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like Cam Ward's going to be fine, but forget being chucked into the fire. You're getting chucked into a volcano, essentially. This is it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I echo what you're saying. You know, you're going into Mile High, one of the tougher places to play. That's A. B, you're going up against one of the better defenses in the league, like a top 5 defense in the league. So it's already not faring great for you. So yeah, I'll Broncos. San Fran and Seattle. Okay. I know we've been talking down on Seattle a lot. San Francisco. We've been talking down on them a lot. This is a team that also was dealing with a lot of injuries last year. This is a team that's getting a lot of players back. For example, Christian McCaffrey, healthy, ready to go.
Finally.
This is it. It's not a bad running back room as well. You trade for Brian Robinson during the offseason, which, fuck me, by the way. I am on my dynasty team, and I trade him for a first-round pick, only for him to be traded and be RB2 and only be projected 4 points this week. So, Seattle is revamped on offense. JSN, Cooper Kupp. I don't know. The question is, what type of Sam Darnold are we going to get? Are we going to get damn near MVP Sam Darnold? Or are we going to get Jets Darnold? Which is kind of the questions that we were asking during the offseason. San Francisco, as mentioned, getting a lot of pieces back. Fred Warner is going to be completely healthy. Trent Williams is still one of the best tackles in the league. I think I'm going to go San Francisco on this one.
I believe I'm going to go with San Fran as well. For all the reasons you mentioned, I know going into Seattle is going to be tough, but with Sam Darnold, it's definitely going to take some time to gel. I do think that. And Purdy, this is put up or shut up here. You know, you got him, Jennings, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey. I think there's going to be some fireworks. Honestly, that's my projection. Like, whatever the over is, I think hammer it. Because the Seattle defense, their pass rush is very underwhelming. Their defensive backfield's good, but Purdy still has a bunch of capable weapons. That much we know. And the San Fran defense, which is usually pretty good, you know, you still got, you know, Diomedor Lenore, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. That's good. But they got ravaged. And I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I feel like San Fran ekes it out probably 31-30. And for what it's worth, I know you viewers like, oh, CJ, Chris, agree again. Shiver me timbers or whatever. I want to let you know that our other friends of the show, Adam Wright and Justin Tucker, pick Seattle. We are not a united front on this.
No, definitely not. Yeah, definitely not united. That is for sure. Next game, definitely would have been a contender for Ruski game of the week. It's the Lions and the Packers. Oh, baby. Just give me all the football, man. Just give me all the football.
Absolutely.
This could potentially be game of the year. This among some of the other ones that we've listed, of course, earlier today, could have the potential to be game of the year. This has the potential to be that. Have you noticed the amount of hype the Packers have gotten recently? Never mind the Micah Parsons trade. Never mind that. They've gotten a ton of hype.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got elevated like a mother when Micah Parsons joined the team. But they're like, people got like power ranks going where they're like top five, top three.
Yeah.
Do I believe the hype? That is the question. I'm going to believe it. Give me the Packers. The Lions are going to. Here's my thing. It's the two new coordinators that Campbell is working with, right?
Yep.
Lions kind of got. They didn't get picked apart, per se. They're still returning a lot of guys. And that was their biggest thing, was all the defensive injuries. They're returning a lot of guys. I do believe that they're going to come out on in all cylinders. I do. But I see this as a bit of a heart attack game for the Lions. You have a great year last year. Two consecutive amazing years. Week one against your rival Green Bay. Two new coordinators, but the Packers got a little extra push in them. That's kind of how I see it at the moment. And the Lions are going to lose in a way that's going to be like, what the hell happened? What the hell happened? And that's going to be the heart attack. Because you're going to get week one of doing this, and then the next week they're going to go out and go ballistic. Because you know who they have week two?
Who do they have week two, Chris?
The Bears.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, just give me the Packers.
You know what? Give me the Lions. And yeah, I know I've raised alarms about the fact that they've lost their coordinators. And that does concern me. But guess what, Packers? It's not Toyota-thon quite yet. It's not. And the thing is, I know it's in Green Bay, but I'm still not sold on that receiving core. I know you had Matthew Golden. It's a crowded room. Someone has to stand out, whether it's Golden, whether it's Jaden Reed, whether it's someone else. I need to see more out of Green Bay. And I mean, maybe it's foolish to go on history, but I urge you all to consider that on paper, the Lions run circles around them. The X factor, though, Micah Parsons. He's going to be an absolute game wrecker. Of course, you know, apparently he's got like a back injury. That could be a problem.
Yeah, like he's getting injections for this back injury, and the Packers didn't know about it till after they signed the contract. Which, by the way, they probably ran a physical on Micah Parsons first, and there was probably nothing serious. but still kind of ridiculous that it's a spinal injury that he has to get injections for. Like, how does that slip under the cracks?
Yeah, I don't know, but I am leaning the Lions. I think it's going to be close. This is a game that both sides are going to sweat, but the Lions ultimately come away probably with like a last second field goal.
I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. This is another coin toss game, and I wouldn't be surprised how either team would win and how the outcome would turn out. It just wouldn't be surprising, but it's going to be a hell of a game. Rams Texans, the last 4 o'clock game that we have. Rams are favored by 3.5. The Rams, man. There's something about the Rams that I'm just loving the Rams. I'm just loving them right now for some reason. It's just,
and I understand.
I think I love a good high flying offense, and that's what the Rams have. That's what the Rams have. You know, that's kind of their history, right? High flying offenses that do fucking damage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Texans were just so underwhelming last year. And I feel like looking at what they did for this season still makes me feel really underwhelmed. For it, like, there was so much excitement for them last year and there was a lot of, like, very good reason to be excited last year. But this year feels very different. And so I'm not really excited to watch this offense or just watch this team in general. Like, is this defense going to be able to hold up against the Rams offense? Is the Texans offense going to be able to move? Like, the Rams defense isn't that great, but the way that Houston played last year, I don't know if they would put up 20 on the Rams, to be honest. Especially with the injury to Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. And God knows if he's going to play this season.
True. Not to mention, there's one thing you're forgetting. The offensive line got worse.
Yeah.
Where's Laremy Tunsil? Where is he? Oh, yeah. You traded him. Now, why did you do that? Don't you feel silly? I think the Houston defense, though, with guys like Will Anderson and Derek Stingley, that's going to give them a little trouble. But that Rams pass rush against that Texans offensive line, and the fact that Nico Collins is coming off injury, unless Christian Kirk or like Jaden Higgins step up in a big way, I don't know.
If Christian Kirk wasn't stepping up in Jacksonville as the number one, I don't know if he's going to step up in Houston as that guy either.
Probably not. I got to go with the Rams, frankly.
Yeah, give me the Rams. All right. Monday Night Football, the Vikings and the Bears. This is great. I love the storylines in this one. J.J. McCarthy, second-year quarterback, making his first career start. But this is basically his rookie season, as we have brought up a couple times in the last few weeks. This is his rookie season. We do not know what's going to happen with J.J. McCarthy. Still got good talent around him, though. Aaron Jones, Jettis, brought back Adam Thielen to fill in for Jordan Addison while he serves his suspension. Jalen Naylor. I'm not a big Jalen Naylor guy. I'm just throwing his name out there at that point. T.J. Hockenson. He's got weapons to work with. Can he get the job done? I think he'll do well. I don't know if it's going to be enough to beat the Bears, though. I think this Bears team is going to really live up to the expectation of what everyone has been saying in terms of Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Colston Loveland. I think we're going to see a big revitalization of DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, I think this is going to be a fun Bear. This should be a fun Bears offense to watch. They're at home, prime time. If we're going to do the same thing with Cam Ward, I'm going to give the same reasoning on J.J. McCarthy. Tough place to play, rivalry game at Soldier Field. Give me the Bears.
This is a tough one.
What are we thinking?
Vikings. I'm going Vikings. Look, I know J.J. McCarthy's unproven, but you want to know what's more important and more unproven? Ben Johnson. I'm sorry. Like, we can't, for everyone say, oh, J.J. McCarthy's unproven. We just go overlook the fact that an entire head coach of the other goddamn team is unproven. Furthermore, McCarthy still has Justin Jefferson. He still has Aaron Jones. He has Jordan Mason. He has T.J. Hockenson. Oh, and you just traded for Adam Thielen. And, yeah, you don't have Jordan Addison. But for me, what's going to set it apart is the defense. Brian Flores is a defensive genius. And, you know, he's going to put Caleb Williams in hell. That is a hell of a test to start out your coaching tenure for Ben Johnson. And I know he's been an OC in the NFC North, so he knows Brian Flores well. But counterpoint, Brian Flores knows him. And another time where just experience wins. You know, Flores and their head coach there, whose name escapes me, and I don't know why he's a damn good head coach, but I'm ultimately going to have to go with the Vikings.
I respect it. You and Vegas are one and the same in this case because the Vikings are favored.
Kevin O'Connell, by the way.
By 1.5. That's
probably in my head, yeah.
I would consider this another coin flip game, though. This could really go either way. And it's going to be incredibly fun to watch because I love football. That is all the scheduled content that we have today. One last thing before we end the show. Obviously, everyone is really mad about Red Zone having commercials. There's a new report that just came out that Red Zone, the commercials that will be shown, is only 4 15-second commercials.
Don't care. It's a travesty.
Exactly. I don't care. Great. For 1 minute of commercials, cool. But, you know, it's 7 hours of commercial. It is now 6 hours and 59 minutes of commercial-free football. We need the full 7. That's all it is.
True.
Once again, greedy business executives get in the way of our fun.
Thank you, ESPN. You have shown, once again, you do not know what the fans want at all.
And also Pat McAfee being like, we don't have a problem with it, as they have.
Well, yeah, that's literally what ESPN is telling him. Yep. Doesn't he, like, literally have a contract with them now or something?
He's had a contract with them, but, like,
yeah, exactly. So their hand's firmly up his ass.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, the irony of it is he was literally saying this in a dual screen with, like, an L-bar Dr. Pepper graphic ad going. Like, he's saying, I just think that was extremely ironic coming from Pat McAfee, who seems like, who has, I feel like, is a big persona of his is kind of being anti-establishment, but. Hey, man, go where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast. We'll just go back to normal schedule, of course, for week 2. So once again, new episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30. Potential to have it earlier, so keep an eye out for that. And of course, now that we have the 2-a-week episodes back, Tuesdays at 7:30, Fridays at 5, besides today, of course. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.